fight the world, I fight you, I fight myself. I fight God, just tell me how many burdens left. I fight pain and hurricanes, today I wept. I'm trying to fight back tears, flood on my doorsteps. Life we live in hell, puddles of blood in the street. Shooters on top of the building, government aid ain't relief. Earthquake, the body drop, the ground breaks. The poor run with smoke lungs and scarred face. Who need a hero?
Hero.
You need a hero, look in the mirror, there go your hero. Who on the front lines at ground zero?
Hero.
My heart don't skip a beat even when hard times bumps the needle. Mass destruction and mass corruption, the souls of suffering men. Clutching on deaf ears again, rapture's coming. It's all prophecy, and if I gotta be sacrificed for the greater good, then that's what it gotta
you won't
be.
Pray for me. Take my pain for me. Save my soul for me. Cause I'm alone to see. If I won't die for you, if I won't kill for you, then I spill this blood for you. Hey, 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 hey.
Hey guys, Tuesday morning with a cup of Joe here on 101.5 UMFM. That was The Weeknd, Pray For Me, featuring Kendrick Lamar. And that is, of course, another single off of the new album that Kendrick is creating for the movie Black Panther. Fittingly enough, the album is called Black Panther, the album. He did drop the track list, however, recently. And, you know, there's obvious songs, are you know, the songs I've played already are on there. You know, All the Stars with SZA, King's Dead with Future, James Blake, and who's the other guy? I forgot his name already. You know, that song with Future doing the weird voice. You have Pray For Me, obviously. And yeah, no, I'm really excited to just watch the movie now. Like, I want to go see the movie now, right? Because I saw the track list. I don't know if that is frowned upon, that I'd rather watch a film because of its music. I don't know. You know what? I've been recently been surrounded by a lot of film buffs, film enthusiasts. What's the word for people who love movies? A philophile? Wow, I don't know. I really don't know. So you know, I've been trying to be more careful, because like these people that I know are like heavy, like film buffs, you know what I'm saying? Like they know every movie going all the way back to, you know, when movies were first made, right? When they were just moving pictures, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I'm trying to be careful. If in case they listen to this, you know, they might take offense to the fact that I only want to watch a film because of a music score. I don't know. Yeah, you know, there's another Kendrick and Travis Scott track coming up, I believe. So that's exciting. You know, obviously they've come together for Goosebumps off of Travis Scott's album, Birds in the Trap Sing Brian McKnight, and that's a really fun track. You know, when I first listened to that, to Goosebumps, you know, I was like, okay, I'm feeling this, and then they hit you with the Kendrick verse, and I'm like, oh, okay, now I'm really feeling this, you know. It was like that. So super excited for that. Of course, we have to talk about the Super Bowl, which I will get to later. I feel like we could talk the entire hour. We could take the entire hour talking about the Super Bowl, but I feel like, you know, I gotta, you know, mix it up a bit. I can't spend my entire time with the Super Bowl. So, yeah, so the Black Panther, the album tracklist, you got Schoolboy Q, 2 Chainz, Sway Lee, Vince Staples, Georgia Smith, Absol, Anderson .Paak, And J-Rock was on that track, King's Dead. You got Zachary, who was obviously the feature for Love by Kendrick off of his album Damn. You got, yeah, Travis Scott and a few other artists that I've never listened to. So maybe I need to listen to these artists that he's got listed. He's got Khalid on a track with Swae Lee. So I'm assuming that's going to be a more harmonious and sing-songy type of track. But I'm very excited, very, very excited for the movie, the album. It should be a good time. And yeah, so before we get into the Super Bowl talk, which I will do after I take a break, how are you guys doing? How is everybody doing? I am right now, I should be in my conservatism seminar as I'm recording this, but I'm not. Reason being is because it is boring. I won't front. You know, usually I would force myself to go to a class despite it being boring, but this week's reading just added to like the fact that, you know, in the back of my head and in my heart, you know, they were telling me, you don't gotta go to this, you know what I'm saying? Because like the seminars that we have, it's just discussion about the readings, right? There's no, I mean, I guess there is new information. You do get new perspectives from other students, you know, giving their takes on it. But the other students, it's just like, it's like political science kids just talking over each other, which is, I think, what I predicted when I first started talking about my conservatism seminar. So I'm not surprised. Another thing is that this is my first term and first time in my entire academic career that there has been a discussion forum for the class I'm taking, and I'm not used to it. So you check out my discussion forum like I do. And it's so formal. It's this super serious, like, this week I decided to do an extrapolation of Hayek's point on the rule of law, blah, 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 blah. And some replies, hi there, I agree with you on some points, but disagree on some viewpoints, some of the other points you made. Here's what I agree about, blah, 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 bang, bang, bang. Here I am reading this, and I stop reading when you got to the second paragraph, because it's a 10 paragraph post, you know? And so, like, for me personally, I can't do that. I really can't. Like, when I want to discuss political topics, you know, any, like, if I want to get into a discussion that is beneficial, like a critical discussion of a topic, I can't be that formal, you know? Like, I want to use colloquial language. I want to use slang. I want to be like, yo, this dude's whack. Like, he made this position like this. You know, I'm like, I don't know what it is, but, and I want to type that when I get to the discussion. I want to be like, yeah, so this dude, F.A. Hayek, he was like an economist or something like that back then. And like, he was talking about how like the rule of law should determine all laws, you know? And like, he took like this libertarian view, which I'm not really a fan of because it's kind of bogus, because like it allows for people to accumulate wealth more than they should. And there's, you know, like, I want to say stuff like that, but I can't be like, this week I read F.A. Hayek and I am replying to chapter 10 of his book that we were assigned to read this week for Monday. In chapter 10, F.A. Hayek makes the point that the rule of law should be the basis for all of our laws that are legislated within society. I disagree with this, because it seems to me that Hayek is taking a libertarian view. Personally, libertarianism is a view that I do not support. Reason being is that I believe it allows some individuals to accumulate wealth, and still, in a society that allows wealth accumulation, that is equal to power. And letting individual, you know, like, it would just be like that. I can't do that. I really, it's not like I have the inability to. Maybe I do, I don't know. But I can't, it just feels so pretentious to me, you know? And you know what? I'm sure that these other people that are posting in the discussion forum, they're like that too. I'm sure they're like off, you know, outside the discussion forum, they're doing the same thing, right? They're just talking in slang. They're really relaxed with their language. But I just feel like the discussion forum should be a reflection of that, right? And to me, the forum is a reflection of just people trying to put this image that, you know, I'm an intellectual person, and here is a thing exhibiting my intellectual abilities, you know? And I just want it to be like, it feels more like people talking around a table with tea rather than like people just chilling on couches with a beer in their hand and like, you know, just like in like someone's living room with like a Tribe Called Quest playing in the background and just like discussion going. Like, that's the kind of discussion that I want, and I feel like I can't do it in this forum. So I don't know. I'm rambling now, but in case you want to know how my conservatism class is going, it's boring. Okay, so besides that, little tangent right there. So I play this game on my phone. It's called Fire Emblem Heroes, and it's a really fun game. It's a tactical turn-based game where you the main premise of the game is to use heroes that you get to battle against other players, whether it's the computer or other players around the world in the arena. And so, you know, obviously there is a system to this where you want the most powerful heroes, right? And so the way you can get more powerful heroes is by summoning them. And by summoning them, you need orbs. And to get orbs, you can get them through quests, you can do missions for them, or you can buy them, aka a microtransaction. Now, I was going through the subreddit for the game recently, and you know, with microtransactions, it can be really easy to spend lots of money on a game for virtual material, right? Like when I was 12, 13, I loved Habbo Hotel. Like I was addicted to Habbo Hotel, and just this idea of collecting furniture, of putting like arranging a room together, making your own little like hangout space. I love that. Right. So there was you could buy more furniture by getting coins, and by getting coins, you could do so by purchasing with a credit card, or you could buy a prepaid card in stores, which is the method that I did. So, you know, you get 50 coins for a $10 card, and 50 coins can get you, you know, some furniture. But it's like 50 coins is like at that threshold where it's like you might be satisfied, but you sort of sway towards getting more coins to buy more furniture, right? So you see where this is going, because once you spend your 50 coins, you're like, okay, well, I need another 50 coins, right? So when I was 12, 13, this sort of developed into like an addiction. It developed into a microtransaction problem, right? And by the end of the year, I had counted, I'd saved up all my cards in a stack. And by the end of the year, using my parents' money, I had determined that I had spent about $150 in a year on coins. $150, $200, just by counting the cards I didn't throw out, which I think I only threw out maybe one or two. So maybe there's some room for error there. But, you know, $150, $200. And when I realized this, I was like, wow, like $200 is a lot. 12-year-old me was like, $200 is a lot. I just... That's a lot of money. But I kept doing it until, you know, around like maybe when I was maybe 13, 14, you know, Habbo lost its lust. The magic wasn't there. And so I lost interest in the game, right? So going back to Fire Emblem Heroes, you know, you're able to purchase orbs to essentially, you know, the way the summoning works, it's like a lottery, right? So, you know, you pay a certain amount of orbs and you have a chance of getting a really powerful character to use in the game, right? But of course, the odds are super low of getting a really powerful character, and the odds are better for getting, you know, an average character that, you know, you can use for other purposes, right? But it's not the one that you want. The satisfaction of getting a 5-star character is not there, right? So, like I said, you can buy orbs with real money, and the way it works is when summoning, you know, 20 orbs is usually the amount that you want to get the full effect, which you can purchase, I think, 25 orbs for, I think, $20, something like that. So this is a problem. So I was going through the forum for the game, and there's this guy, maybe a girl. I couldn't tell by the username. I'm not going to assume. And they post that they had spent $8,000 in a year on the game. Like, when I read that, you know, I thought about my Habbo Hotel spending, and I was like, wow, I could have spent way more and still not have felt guilty compared to this guy. Like, $8,000, you know? And it's crazy. Like, I've talked about this before on the show. Like, microtransactions, like, you never realize. I think for some players, with how easy it is to just connect your credit card to your phone and to just be able to purchase with like even your fingerprint now as verification, it's too easy. It's way too easy and it's so dangerous. Like, it's crazy. And so there's this one side of it where the ease of access is there, but the other side of it where there's an addiction and there is just this sort of, you know, illusory sort of, you know, barrier that you want to break through, you know, like you want to get the best characters. You want to have a really awesome team. You want all these things from the game, and the game is set up in such a way that you need to spend money. But to spend $8,000 on a game, on a mobile game that may not even, you know, be existent 5 years from now, 10 years from now, that is not able to be physically saved on a disc, you know, like some other games that are on consoles, so to speak, or like on a PC, you know, And so it's just, it blows my mind every time hearing about these stories. You hear it all the time. You hear it with other popular games. And like, that's why these companies that make these kind of games, Fire Emblem is made by Nintendo. So, you know, that kind of makes sense. Like, they've been in the business for a while now. But it's just, this sort of system can be applied to any game. And you see it on TV. If you have TV, you'll watch it, right? Like, there's commercials for, like, Game of War, Mobile Strike. They're able to hire Arnold Schwarzenegger for a commercial. They're able to hire Kate Upton for a commercial, you know? Like, it's crazy how much money is poured into these games. And it blows my mind every time. I talked about it before. And it just feels wrong. You know, like, it feels like it's not a game anymore. It's not a game. Rather, it's a competition to see who can outspend who, you know? And I feel like that just takes away the value of what a video game should be, right? Like, growing up, you play Mario or Street Fighter or something, and there was no microtransactions. It was more like, can you develop a skill in the game to get better at the game, to advance through the levels, to be able to beat your opponent without buying anything, right? Like, it was just, there was this sort of value in moving up in a game solely through your playing, right? But now with these games, now with microtransactions, you just have to buy your way through. And I think it sort of plays on the fact that humans can be naturally competitive, right? And if someone has the means to do so on a game, which a lot of people do now, right? Like, it's if you have a phone, you must have some money that maybe you shouldn't be spending, but you will spend on a video game. It's crazy to me. Like, it's, I don't know how I get mind blown every time. Like, it's something that is at one point interesting, but at another point sort of saddening for me, right? Because it's like, a video game now isn't really a video game. And sure, you know, there are some companies that are like working to like go against that view. I mean, there are definitely still video games out there that are video games, but you see it now with popular games, right? With mobile games, with, you know, Call of Duty, Battlefield, Halo, Overwatch, there's Counter-Strike, you know, there's like loot boxes or loot crates or whatever, right? Where you can get like cool stuff and, you know, creates this competitive sort of vibe with other players, like, hey, you know, I got the latest skin, or hey, I got this really cool gun that you don't have, and it's like, oh, well, I guess I gotta buy and, you know, be on par with them. It's weird. It's really weird. And I'm rambling again, but that's, I think I want to write something about that, so I will keep you guys updated about that. But for now, you have my general idea of what I'm thinking about right now, which is nice. See, this is why I like to have this show, because now I get to like flesh out my ideas, my thoughts. If anyone has anything to say, they can tell me about it. But yeah, we're gonna take a quick break, and when we get back, we'll talk about Super Bowl. This one is called Something New by Sir, off of his recent album November. Sir recently signed with TDE. He'll be joining the TDE crew, minus Isaiah Rashad, on the championship tour, which starts in May. And I'm hoping I can make it out to there. But for now, here's a new song from him, and we'll be back after this. I found another life. It's true.
tell me I've been on your mind. You fell asleep in my t-shirt, gripping my pillow tight. You didn't think I would be here tonight. Went to bed listening to what we like. Made the perfect little playlist. Looks like somebody was making plans to welcome me home again. But I landed early, I couldn't wait. I've been missing you lately. I made my escape, but it seems like I'm already here in your dreams. And I couldn't stand to mess up a good thing.
Back here Tuesday morning with a cup of Joe here on 101.5 UMFM. That was Sir with Dreaming of Me, and before that was Something New. That was Something New featuring Etta Bond. I forgot to add that before I played the song. I wanted to play those two back to back because they are separate tracks on the track list, but in succession they sound like they're meant to go together, which I really liked. And Sir, he is a singer songwriter that recently signed with TDE. And if you actually read about the bio they got about him on Spotify, it's actually super interesting. If I can pull it up real quick, so Sir is the recording alias of Daryl Ferris, an R&B singer and songwriter whose sound is predominantly mellow but impassioned. Which I agree. I mean, if you listen to November is I feel like it's an album that you need to be in the mood in, but if you turn it on at any point where you're relaxed, like, it'll just vibe. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can, it's a track that is really something you can vibe to. He's from Inglewood, California, earned a degree in recording arts and developed his songwriting, arranging, and production skills. Went on to work with Anita Baker. And from 2011 to 2015, he co-wrote material for the likes of Ginuwine, Tyrese, and Jill Scott. During the same period, he appeared as featured artist, on a few releases that came out of L.A., including Il Camille's Illustrated and Anderson Paak's Venice. He released Seven Sundays in 2015, which included Pac, Knowledge, Chris Dave, and Aman Omari. And then following that, on Isaiah Rashad's The Sun's Tirade, he made a feature on there. Which song was that? I really liked it, though. Let me look that up real quick. But yeah, I remember him being on The Sun's Tirade as well. He was on Rope, the track Rope and Rose Gold. If you are looking for a more melodic sort of musical and mellow vibe from an artist, Sir is that guy. I'm super excited for him. I can't wait to see what he does with TDE. I mean, you've got a slew of artists now that you can feature with. On the same album, November, he already made a track with Schoolboy Q called Something Foreign, which I really enjoyed. And so, you know, I mean, you've got SZA, Kendrick, Absol, J-Rock, you know, you've got all these guys on the TDE roster to work with. I mean, that's got to be exciting, right? Isaiah Rashad, right? So I'm super excited for him. But now, Super Bowl, Patriots lost, and that's it. Have a good night, folks. oh, man. I mean, what is there to say, really? Everything has been said about the Super Bowl. I thought that was, you know, aside from the Patriots losing, I thought it was a fun game to watch. I think if you were the type of person to have never watched football, if that was the first game you watched, you'd have to say, you know what, that was a good football game. It was a fun football game. So the one thing that I guess is up in the air was the football that Tom Brady didn't catch. Oh, hey-o. Yeah, I got it in there. but another thing that was up in the air was Zach Ertz's touchdown, his late touchdown in the end zone. So if you didn't watch it, Ertz catches a pass in the red zone. He jumps forward, breaks the plane into the end zone, falls down, ball drops, ball pops out of his hands as he lands on the ball, pops up. He still like manages to catch it and then holds on to it. So, you know, there was, you know, you saw this touchdown happen and you wondered, right? If you knew what was going on surrounding catches in the NFL, you had to have wondered a bit, at least a bit, you know, is this going to count, right? That would have been the basic question you asked yourself in regards to that catch, because for the entire season, it seemed to be unknown what a catch really constituted. Like, what was a catch, right? And that play was very similar to Jesse James's play for the Steelers, where he caught the ball, it dropped, they ended up not getting the first down, and that cost them a game. That was against the Patriots, right? So it's interesting, because I guess what the big difference is that with Jesse James's catch, that was in the field, right? That was already, you know, it was a drive, they weren't in the end zone. Whereas with Ertz's catch, you know, he was just a player that was breaking the plane with the football, right? And it was determined that he was a runner when he caught the ball. I mean, we can argue this all we want. All that matters is that the Patriots lost because of it, right? So that matters. but it's interesting, right? Because now, I feel like after this season now, the NFL needs to figure something out with what a catch is. Because if the audience is watching Ertz's play and their first question, the first thing that comes to their mind is this going to count? That's a problem. Is that not? Like, that has to be a problem, because like, if you're more worried about the constitution of a catch when it comes to a play rather than just enjoying the play for what it is, I feel like that takes away, you know, from the fun of watching the NFL, right? And you know what? We can argue that the NFL is getting a lot less fun to watch. I mean, they had to bring back touchdown celebrations because of how, you know, really rigid they tried going for a bit there. And it's just like, I mean, I don't know. Like, it's weird. It's really weird. And obviously this has to be something that they talk about at the meetings, at the owners' meetings, just to see what's up, because, you know, it was a great play. And the fact that we had to wonder a bit, we had to worry a bit whether it was going to count or not, you know, it's obviously a problem that needs to be fixed. Another thing, obviously, is the kid. Okay, there are so many memes and stuff coming out of this game. Like, I love it. Like, I already mentioned it, you know, Tom Brady messing up the play and not catching the football, and then someone editing the Lombardi trophy as the football and him fumbling with it. You know, like, you have the kid from the halftime show. So if you weren't watching the halftime show, Timberlake was coming down like this like aisle, and there was a kid there who looked super awkward. Like, if he must have been like 11 or 12, right? And I can't imagine a worse nightmare for a kid like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're on national television, everyone's watching you, and here's you looking lost, looking scared even, and then, you know, getting a selfie with Justin Timberlake and then like going back to your phone, and it's like you see all these memes, like what's he Googling on his phone, you know, like is it who's Justin Timberlake or whatever. Like, this kid is essentially the left shark of the Super Bowl, you know what I'm saying? And I saw that he was on Good Morning America this morning, which, you know, you knew had to happen, right? Like, you see this kid, he's going to be on Ellen for sure. Like, you knew something was going to happen with this kid, right? Like, you're going to be like, oh, okay, yeah, this kid, he's gone viral, he's already a meme, you know, he's going to, you got to try and get the story in the headline before anyone else does, right? So, I thought that was interesting. I didn't watch the rest of it because I was kind of preoccupied with like discussions about the fantasy league. Because like when I watch the Super Bowl, our fantasy league does the year end meeting there too to discuss rules and stuff. But I saw that. So before the halftime show, apparently Justin Timberlake, he wanted to get a hologram of Prince, a la, you know, Tupac at Coachella. And if you had read before, you know, people were posting, you know, links to Prince saying on the record that, no, I think there's something disrespectful about, you know, performing a duet, so to speak, with an artist who's passed. If we were to have a duet together, we would have lived in the same time period together. It would have worked out that way. But since it didn't, I feel like there's something wrong with doing so and bringing them back from the dead through a medium to perform with. So, you know, the idea of having a hologram to perform with or something like that was something that Prince was completely against. And so I think the plan before the show was Justin was going to get a hologram of Prince, but then this whole thing came up. He canceled it. Instead, he played the piano while there was like a huge like projection of like Prince, you know, not a hologram, but like a video tribute. And the best Photoshop. I mean, that's a meme. I feel like now, you know, with these events, with these shows, like there has to be, as part of like the marketing and PR department, there's like the meme department, you know, because you can put anything in that banner. Someone photoshopped Dave Chappelle's prints in that banner, and it's amazing. Like, it's just like there. This entire Super Bowl was just a culmination of all. Of just all these things, you know, like aside from the game, like there are just so much like side stuff going on within the game and outside the game. It's the commercials. I don't know if you saw it, but Eli Manning and OBJ did a Dirty Dancing commercial, and it was amazing. You know, Landon Collins was in there and he was like kind of feeling it, and then like as Eli was like about to like go into formation with the D-line, Landon Collins was like, nah, let him dance, you know. it's amazing. It was freaking amazing. And I saw a meme and it was like, Tom Brady is now 0-3 when Eli Manning makes an appearance in the Super Bowl, because that includes commercials. And it was just like, I don't know, man, it was amazing. I got a sip of water here, I'm talking too much. Yeah, no, it was, that was just amazing. And then, you know, obviously jokes about Tom Brady's TB12 routine, about how he has to like ration himself an extra, he's going to rage eat an extra almond after the game or something like that. You know, Tom Brady's son is going to curve him and not allow him to kiss him tonight after the game. Like, just all this stuff. It's amazing. You know what? I feel like, you know, even though it was the Eagles and the Patriots, we were able to, you know, put our team fandom aside and, you know, collectively bring together our Patriots hate and just, you know, develop this beautiful thing that was the Super Bowl plus everything else, right? Like, I mean, Philadelphia was on fire if you saw it. Like, you just, there's so many things about this Super Bowl. Like, there's so many just things to look at, you know. You can look at the city of Philly, you can look at the plays in the game, you can look at the halftime show, you can look at, there was funny commercials. It was amazing. I think this may have been, I think for some people this may have been one of the most memorable Super Bowls for them, which is awesome, right? Like, that's exactly what you wanted. And so, You know, if the NFL did one thing right, it was to not allow the refs to cheat for the Patriots. And that's all we wanted. That's literally, if you're a football fan of any sort, that's all you wanted, was that you didn't want the unless you're a Patriots fan, you didn't want the Patriots to win. And it worked out for us in the end. So, you know, that all needs to be said. That's the only thing that needs to be said, really. Really and truly. I went to the tavern to watch the Super Bowl. And it's nice because, like, no one goes because everyone has a Super Bowl party at home. But you know, you still get the degenerates in there, right? So, a few Eagles fans, you know, cheering from the start of the game just for every first down, every catch made, every extra point, every field goal, every call against the Patriots, every tackle, every completed pass, just every time, right? Because they were there, obviously, to cheer for the Eagles, but also to troll the Patriots fans in the tavern as well. So, you know, my one friend, he's a big Patriots fan, wore his jersey. Once the game was over, the guy in the Eagles jersey comes to our table, runs past us with a dog mask, cheering, woo, you know, just rubbing in our faces. And I'm like, you know, I'm sure my friend was kind of rattled, but like the rest of us were like, hey, man, do what you got to do, right? Like, you do you, man. Like, that's awesome. I guess another interesting thing is that Chris Long and LeGarrette Blount are back-to-back champions because of this, because they were on the Patriots last year. Patriots didn't want them. They come back, and now they're back-to-back champs. I guess the biggest story, not the biggest, but like the most interesting thing about the gameplay that you have to wonder about, even though we shouldn't care, is Malcolm Butler. Malcolm Butler didn't play a snap, except for special teams, in the game at all. And arguably, he is one of the best corners on the rise in the game today. And he played, you know, 97% of defensive snaps for during the regular season for the Patriots. And, you know, if Butler's on the field, do the Eagles still score 41 points? I don't know, but I can't see it being 41. You know what I'm saying? Like, Malcolm Butler may have been what the Patriots needed to at least keep themselves in the game, right? And the fact that Belichick, you know, he answered the question. He said, no, we had a game plan. He wasn't part of it. It wasn't disciplinary. It was just what we thought was best, the best plan to win the game. And it's a classic Belichick answer because, you know, you could take his word for it. But at the same time, like, I feel like you can't, right? Like, I feel like there has to be something deeper to this, because how do you bench one of the best corners in the game and, you know, allow Nick Foles to be Super Bowl MVP? Like, the most offensive production came from Nick Foles passing the ball. And if Malcolm Butler is there, maybe some of those passes aren't completed. Maybe one of them's intercepted, right? I mean, not that I'm condoning that the Patriots should have started him so that they could win. I'm just saying, you know, if you're a Patriots fan, if I'm a Patriots fan, I'm wondering that too. Where was Malcolm Butler? Why wasn't he playing? It's the last game of the season. It's the Super Bowl. Like, you can't make an example of someone in the championship game, no matter how... Okay, I guess there is a threshold, but, you know, we didn't hear anything about it in the news, right? So it must have been something internal. And even at the same time, it's like, I don't know, what, did Malcolm Butler, like, sleep with someone's wife? You know what I'm saying? Like, that can't be. That really can't be it. Like, it's just... I don't know what it is, and it's going to be interesting to see, you know, whether we, and even Malcolm Butler said, you know what, it's frustrating seeing that happen, because I should have been out there, right? And so I feel like it's going to be really interesting to see, because now Malcolm Butler's going to be a free agent this season. I don't think he comes back. You just told him, hey, even in the Super Bowl, we don't need you. We don't want you. And I think that's all he needed to see what was implied, right? So, I mean, like, it's the weirdest thing to me that the Patriots did not start him, and that he could have made a significant difference for the Patriots. Significant, I don't know. Okay, he would have made a difference at least in the score. It would not have been a 41-33 blowout, right? Blowout, no, a 41-33 game, right? So, I don't know. That's my take on it, and that's all I got to say about that. But in the end, blah 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 blah. The Patriots lost a Super Bowl. The Eagles won their first Super Bowl. There was an awesome commercial with Eli Manning and OBJ. And that's all we needed. We got a meme out of the halftime show. We got to see the city of Philadelphia burn down. We got to see a bunch of videos of them celebrating. It was great, right? I think this was a fun Super Bowl this year. That's my final take on it, because everything that should have happened, happened. You know what I'm saying? That's all we needed. okay. I'll take a quick break. I think I have like 5 minutes left. So I'll take a quick break. When we get back, I'll talk a bit, like maybe just like 5 more minutes, and then I'm going to take off. But right now, this is Crew by Gold Link featuring Brent Faiyaz and Shy Glizzy. I'll be back after this.
She see money all around me. I look like I'm the man. Yeah, but I was down and out like last week. Tell me, where have you been?
Yeah, you came out of hiding, girl. Don't act like I'm your man. I'm just a fan. You don't hold rank.
With a sick mouth and a slick flow. Catch up around me, nigga, ain't a plan. When I'm coming for the kitty, got my full goddamn. Do it for my niggas and the ghost right there. Do it for my niggas and the ghost right now. Niggas got killed for the boy, living dreams in the hills, and they watching for the boy right now. Goddamn, what a time, what a year. We are what them young boys fear. I kill, never be killed, that's real, no lie. You can tell that from my peers right now. Don't you wanna f me now? Don't you wanna love me down? Girl, you can't tie me down like Ray J said, but no, I'm down. Freaky nigga, show me something. Shake it like you owe me something. Pushing on the like a button. Four time, fifth time, you gush. Still getting rowdy in a function. Just on my like it's nothing. Everywhere I go now, always got bumping, jumping, jumping, jumping.
Hey, nice to meet. Hey, who you be? Southeast and Southeast. Got her clapping to this beat. She invite me to her crib. I walk in, she say my heat. She said, but I live in the hills. That's just the way I sleep. Stop that madness, I'm a savage. In traffic with Mac 11s. Bad bitch, and she Spanish. I fired a girl of vessels. We get nasty, I'm her daddy. She know a nigga ain't average. Ain't nothing wrong with fake bitches. Turn around, let's make magic. I'm geeking, I'm on it. Don't look at me like you want it. Tell them that we ain't stunting it. Fourth down, we ain't punting it. King of District Columbia, can't come here with.
Back here Tuesday morning with a cup of Joe, 101.5. That's loud, Jesus. Sorry about that. 101.5 UMFM, and we're gonna finish it off with talk about the NBA All Star Game that is coming up very soon. NBA All Star Game. When does it start again? I forgot again. There's actually a lot of sports happening. There's a lot of sports happening this week. Is that next weekend? NBA All Star. Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah, next weekend, the 18th. That's the game. The game is on February 18th. So that's, next weekend. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Got a bit lost. There's the NBA All-Star Game. The Winter Olympics are starting this Thursday, I believe. That's what I heard. That crept up on me. I'm not going to lie. The Winter Olympics crept up on me. I had no idea it would be this week. But it is, right? Let me see. Yeah, February 9th. Holy, I never even knew that. I'm excited to see how ice hockey goes, because ice hockey is going to be no NHL players, right? So it's going to be like essentially, man, they should just send like all college players for both Canada and US. That'd be sick, you know? Just what? Because like, especially with U sports, there are definitely some players on a U sports team that could definitely, you know, man at least a second or third line with the players we've got in Canada, right? Like, I think that would have been really cool. And same with, but, you know, the U.S. obviously has a much more developed college hockey program that, you know, some Canadian players will go there to play hockey, right? But I still think that if Canada picked at least a couple U sports players, which they might have, I didn't check, but I think they might have, or they were going to, I would have been sick, but yeah, no, we'll talk about Olympics when they happen. But for now, we have the NBA All-Star lineups. So of course, there's been a few injuries, and the biggest one obviously to Boogie Cousins, right? Because he was supposed to be a starter for Team LeBron, but Cousins, you know, tore his Achilles. Is that what it was? I'm pretty sure that was what it was, right? That's a big loss, not even for the All-Star game, but for like New Orleans, because now, you know, him and Anthony Davis were sick, and then you lose Cousins, you lose Boogie, and it's like, oh man, right? Like, but I guess, you know, it's not as bad as what's going on in Cleveland right now. Like, eek. I mean, Cleveland, geez. You lose by like what, 40? What was it, against Houston? That's insane. So Team LeBron, I forget who's replacing Cousins, but they've got Anthony Davis, Durant, they've got Irving, they got LaMarcus Aldridge, Bradley Beal, Goran Dragic, Andre Drummond, Paul George, Kevin Love, Victor Oladipo, Chris Stapps, the Unicorn, Porzingis, John Wall, Westbrook, and then Team Curry has Giannis, DeMar, Joel Embiid, Harden, Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, Al Horford, Damian Lillard, Kyle Lowry, Klay Thompson, and Kat, Draymond Green. did you guys ever see one of the new Chappelle Netflix specials? And it was like, if I wanted to pick a name that I saw and knew it was black, I would pick Draymond Green. I was just like, oh my God. Come on, Chappelle. Why you gotta do Draymond like that? Even Draymond was like, come on, man. Oh, Chappelle. Chappelle's always playing, right? But yeah, so those are the starting lineups for the game. But obviously, we're all interested in the slam dunk contest. In the dunk contest, Aaron Gordon, Victor Oladipo, Larry Nance Jr., and Dennis Smith Jr., and I think that's a good one. I think we all saw what Gordon did with even though he didn't win the dunk contest, did he? But it was someone else that year when he did like that under the legs thing over the mascot. So I'm excited to see what he does. Oladipo, of course, that'll also be interesting to see because he's on the Pacers now, and he's been blowing up. I mean, taking the opportunity, he is killing it in Indiana right now. Nance Jr., I heard he was one of the players considered to be sent from the Lakers towards Cleveland. Was it the other way around? I forget. Yeah, no, I think if the Lakers wanted LeBron, they'd have to give up. Like, Nance would be in that discussion. And then Dennis Smith Jr., obviously, with the Mavs, you know, still rebuilding, but are they still rebuilding? I don't watch enough Mavs games, to be honest, and I don't watch enough sports highlights, like, at the end of the day to really know what's going on. But from what I remember, the Mavs were 1736. Yeah, so they're rebuilding. But obviously it helps to have someone like Dennis Smith Jr. I would have liked to see Donovan Mitchell go into the game. Like, that guy deserves it, does he not? I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but, you know, this guy, he's only... Oh, okay, no, yeah, so Donovan Mitchell is in a dunk contest. I just looked this up right now, so... Okay, so Aaron Gordon's gone because of a hip injury, and Donovan Mitchell's in the dunk contest. Oh, so there we go. Yeah, okay, that's what I wanted to see. Oh, perfect. All right, that's great. Apparently, Mitchell's in the Rising Stars contest, but he could have easily been a starter or at least a reserve on the All-Star team, no? At least I think so. I mean, this kid is sick. Oh, I love Donovan Mitchell. Okay, I'm a Raptors fan. I got to be a Raptors fan, right? But, man... Mitchell makes me want to be a Jazz fan. Like, he's only 21 and he's just killing it. It's amazing. Like, he's what? I think he's got like 2 40-point games now in his rookie season. Like, that's insane. Like, Donovan Mitchell is like, I'm saying it's over and over again, but he's literally killing it right now as a rookie. Like, it's amazing what he's doing in Utah. So that's pretty cool to see. And then we also had the 3-point contest. No one cares about the skills challenge. Come on, guys. If you say you watch the skills challenge, the Taco Bell skills challenge, you a liar. You are a liar, okay? You know what the skills competition's for? The skills challenge for? The skills challenge is to allow you, if you're late to getting to the TV, it allows you to get food before the three-point contest and the dunk contest, you know? That's all it's for. Let's be honest here, all right? The skills challenge allows you to prepare your seating area around the TV before you get ready for the three-point and the dunk contest. That's all it's for. So, three-point contest, at least from 4 days ago when it was posted, you got Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, Paul George, Wayne Ellington, Eric Gordon, Klay Thompson, Tobias Harris, and Kyle Lowry. I gotta say Thompson or Beal. No. Maybe Booker. Booker might be a dark horse. I don't know. I think Klay Thompson takes that one though. As one half of the Splash Brothers, he must take that. You gotta get that. Okay, well, I think that's pretty much it for me. Yeah, that's all I really got, guys. Listen, thanks again for tuning. Thank you for giving me your time if you made it this far. This weekend, like I said, the Winter Olympics are starting. You know, we've just got this. I mean, football's over, so, you know, baseball season starting up soon. The stove really hasn't been lit yet. So we'll see what happens if there's any like spring training deals going on. But besides that, guys, you know, have a great week, a great weekend, a great day. You know, just be the light that you want to see in your world. You know what I'm saying? Like, just do you. All right. Just do you. I'm going to finish it off with another song from Goldlink. You know, the first song I played, Crew, was off of At What Cost, and this one, Her Side Story, is also off of At What Cost. And we will see you, I will see you, I will talk to you next week, next Tuesday. And yeah, peace.
That the sun don't shine on the west side. You know I'm sitting right here by your side. Baby, I'm down for you. I'm down for you. See, baby, I'm down for you. I'm down for you. Whenever the sun don't shine on the west side. You know I'm sitting right here by your side. See, baby, I'm down for you. Down for you. I'm down for you.
To the reader spot where your girls be at. Told my good man to hit your phone, see where your head be at. We ain't speaking for 5 months, so I'm nervous now. You said that you heard my last, so I know you're mad. Oh, messed it up. Uptown with the hitters, popping like we pop a willing, going crazy in the city. If we do a show up in the city, just know that the city steady rocking with me. Always keep it super thousand with you, always down to run a mile for you.
Don't shine on the west side. You know I'm sitting right here by your side. Baby, I'm down for you. I'm down for you. See, baby, I'm down for you. I'm down for you. Whenever the sun don't shine on the west side. You know I'm sitting right here by your side. See, baby, I'm down for you. Down for you. I'm down for you.
Roll and rock and get the poppin' with ya. Ain't nobody get the fightin' with ya. Ain't nobody get the poppin' with ya. And none of n***a can't nobody get ya. Why I'm from the wild side. Decent so I'm real dry. Yeah, yeah, got the mosh tie from the heat side to the west side. Super fake with the down. Count money with the bros now. G-star from my pants. Leg with the score up now. Skirt in the cool, as I shot it with a door, I ain't really mean to fall in love with a hood, but it's your.
I will be by your shoulder, babe. And when the weather gets colder, know that I'm right there. Said you should know that I'm right there. Oh, wow. I will be by your shoulder. And when the weather gets colder, know that I'm right there. Oh, wow. Said you should know that I'm right there. The sun don't shine on the west side. You know I'm sitting right here by your side. Baby, I'm down for you. I'm down for you. See, baby, I'm down for you. I'm down for you. Whenever the sun don't shine on the west side. You know I'm sitting right here by your side. See, baby, I'm down for you.